And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Welcome to another edition of the Awakening Podcast here on American Family Radio. I'm your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson. Great to be with you again today. And as always, folks, sincerely, thank you so much for your support. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Thank you for supporting American Family Radio and all that we are trying to do, both to inform and just to entertain you too, and to help save this country. Thank you, and God bless you. Please keep us in your prayers, because we could not do what we do without you, okay? You, the friends, the partners, the supporters, the contributors to American Family Radio make it all possible. So God bless you for it. And we trust that the Lord really honors, we know that God really honors all that you all do to make it possible for us to get his word out there. Well, look, let me begin this way. I've told you all, this is a very special period for me and my organization, but I'll come back to that in a few moments. First thing I want to talk about is, you know, I'm a student of American history. I don't call myself an expert because I do not see myself as rising to that lofty level where, you know, I've done historical scholarship or anything like that. But I'm a student of history, and I love American history. And, you know, I really believe that President Trump is doing some things that takes us back, that hark us back to the Founding Fathers' attitude about our country. Because I really believe that the Founding Fathers understood America to be a Christian nation. I believe that. I mean, they quoted the Bible more than any other source that they used. I don't believe they wanted an official statement of religion for our country, because I think they thought, as I agree, by the way, that that would only lead to conflict and controversy. But I think they understood, as you and I do, that as a matter of historical fact, we are a Christian nation. That is our culture. I mean, we're not atheists, we're not Muslim, we're not Buddhist, we're not Hindu. And of course, at the inception of the country, those kind of idolatrous practices were virtually unheard of in America. Virtually unheard of. We are Judeo-Christian in the sense that we follow both the Old and the New Covenants as revelatory. That the Word of God is true from the first verse of Genesis to the last verse of Revelation. And that it is the final and ultimate authority on all matters to which it speaks. All matters of life and practice. It is the source of God's wisdom. And so the Founding Fathers understood that. And so George Washington was able to say in his first proclamation, his Thanksgiving proclamation, it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and to humbly implore his favor and protection. That wasn't weird or it certainly didn't garner lawsuits, which is what would happen today probably. Well, Donald Trump just had a meeting with a group of CEOs, apparently sponsored by his faith office, and he talked to those CEOs about bringing faith back to America and about the importance of God in the American experiment, in the American cultural reality, that God is central. We haven't had a president talk like that since our Founding Fathers. Ronald Reagan came close, and I give Ronald Reagan a lot of credit. I mean, he came close. But I don't remember Ronald Reagan calling CEOs to the White House to talk to them about the importance of faith. So let me just say that does a couple of things and says a couple of things about the nature of this presidency and about the future of our country if this approach persists. One of the things that I have been most concerned about and have felt I probably wasn't in a position to do much about it, although I would like to have been and still would, because I don't think this is by any means a dead issue. I don't think by any means it's over, it's resolved. And that is the extent to which Christians have been silenced in the corporate and private world. Because you have the left controlling many of these institutions, and they are so anti-Christian and anti-God and so full of hatred and venom against Bible-believing Christians particularly, that if you are working for a company that during June they want to put rainbow flags everywhere and they want people to wear pins and they want people to go out to these parades of deviancy and degeneracy, and they want everybody to celebrate and they want, you know, to go to coming out rallies and all that. Now here you are, a born again believer, a faithful Christian, and you're not participating in any of that. And somebody asks you, well, you know, how come you aren't wearing a pin? How come you aren't going to the rally? How come you aren't participating? And you say, well, I'm a Bible-believing Christian. I believe what God said about homosexuality, and I'm not getting involved in it. I just, you know, people are free to do what they want to do, but not me. You'd probably lose your job. At the very least, you'd end up in some kind of retraining seminar. To help you rise above your little petty religious bigotry. Yeah. You'd probably be put on a list of people who weren't going to get promoted because you're not fully into the modern era yet. You're still living in an antiquated time. You're still thinking like people in the 1950s. And you got to come on up to 2025 and yeah, we can't have a person like you in our organization. Folks, it's been happening all over the country, quietly, but persistently. And most Bible-believing Christians understand when they're working for one of these, particularly one of these Fortune 500 companies, one of these top companies, they pretty much understand if you are a Bible-believing Christian, you better keep it to yourself. Because if you don't, you're going to be in trouble. And I really believe that President Trump has now sent a message to the business community. I'm serious, folks. I think he's sending it also through the Attorney General. You better leave Christians alone. You better not persecute Christians because they happen to hold a biblical worldview. I mean, President Trump at this thing said, you know, we got to come back to the truth. And he said, the truth is there are only two genders, male and female. Well, hallelujah. Who would have thought? I mean, and here we were thinking that there were 175 or an infinite number. No, there's only two. And this president had I will say it the nice way, the ventricular fortitude, the boldness, the brassness to say, no, that's a lie. There's only two genders, male and female. Now, all these CEOs sitting there who have been forced by the whole LGBTQ mafia, which I refer to as the SPCG movement, the sexual perversion child grooming movement, who have been rating companies on the basis of how friendly they are toward sexual deviancy and how friendly they are toward what would you call it? I mean, sexual exhibitionism. Everybody's got to know. You're a drag queen. Everybody's got to know. You got a beard and you wear pink high heels. I mean, we want the whole world to know just how weird and crazy you are. And everybody at my company has got to pretend everything is normal when a guy with a beard walks in there in a sequin dress and high heel shoes. I think I may have shared this with you all, that had a friend tell me that when somebody took over the company he was working for at the time, the person's first announcement when the person came on as the new CEO said, "I want everyone to know that I am openly gay and I am biracial." And you want to say, okay, what does that have to do with running this company? Well, I'll tell you what it has to do with running the company. Nothing. Nothing. But it has everything to do with pushing an agenda and everything to do with saying, particularly to Christians, who are the only ones who would have an absolute moral objection to this. Other people might have opinions about it, but Christians don't have an opinion. We have the Word of God. But it's to say to you, you better shut up. You better not let it be known, because even the CEO has made clear where he stands. And you know, he's not going to have anybody telling him that the life he's living is a life of sin. He's not going to have anybody telling him that what he's doing is an abomination to God. So you see, what does a Christian do in that situation? Well, if you want to keep your job, what you do is you basically are forced to act like you're not a Christian, or at least to not bring up anything with regard to what the Word of God says about these social issues that the left has decided to champion. And I really believe Donald Trump is sending a signal to the business community, you better cut it out. Because from now on, the Attorney General of the United States is going to be breathing down your back. And if you start firing Christians and you're not promoting Christians and you're discriminating against Christians because they hold a biblical worldview, you are going to be called on the carpet and you might face lawsuits and all kinds of regulatory consequences as a result of your failure to follow the Constitution and to not discriminate against someone on the basis of religion. Now, you know, here's what's so weird to me. It is incongruous. It is illogical. It is irrational. Here you discriminate against Christians when the First Amendment specifically and explicitly protects freedom of religion. And you discriminate against Christians in order to favor people who are practicing a homosexual or what they call a transgender or drag queen life or whatever it is. You discriminate in their favor. And there's nothing like that mentioned in the Constitution at all. The Constitution never says, thou shalt not discriminate against people on the basis of who they want to have sex with. Does it? Now, I know Gorsuch and some of these other misguided Supreme Court justices have decided that one section of the Civil Rights Act, Title IX, sex is defined as including sexual orientation and sexual identity. That's a lie. It didn't include that. It doesn't include that. The Supreme Court justices who said that made it up. And it's one of those things, I was very disappointed in Gorsuch that he would write an opinion like that. But of course, the tried and true, Justice Clarence Thomas, Justice Samuel Alito said, no, that's not right. That is not right. And I cannot go along with that. I cannot support that. Two other justices joined them, but it wasn't enough to carry the day because I think he was joined by Amy Coney Barrett as well. So I think Roberts and don't hold me to this, but I think Roberts and Kavanaugh also sided with the minority on that vote. But Gorsuch sided with the leftists. Folks, let's not play around with this and try to put some sort of, you know, judicial patina on it and make it sound, well, it was a justiciable issue and they were, no, they lied. They lied. Because you know and I know that nobody who was involved in writing the Civil Rights Act in the 1960s was thinking of any such thing as gender identity or sexual orientation. So who are we kidding? You know, I love it when President Trump says the government has to operate on the basis of truth or people lose respect for it. Amen, Mr. President. And unfortunately, we've got some Supreme Court justices who have not learned that lesson. So I am so glad that he's doing that. And again, that harks back to the attitude of the founding fathers, John Adams. Our Constitution was designed for moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the governance of any other. They made clear over and over and over and over and over again that without God, without submission to God, America doesn't work. Because God is the one from whom we learn and through whose grace we practice virtue. Jenna's program. I substituted for Jenna yesterday morning. In fact, I was on for again this morning, this Wednesday morning. I don't know when you'll be hearing this, but you know, the same day you're hearing this program, I also did a live substitution for Jenna. Somebody called up and they said, you know, they really appreciated me and my boldness and my willingness to speak the truth and my compassion for people, because again, folks, you hear me say this all the time, I don't hate homosexuals. And in fact, I really do make a distinction between the average person who may have an issue, a proclivity, a predisposition toward that lifestyle, a compulsion, if you will. Maybe they think it's right, maybe they don't, but they're just minding their own business, okay? They're still wrong, but they're not trying to change the whole culture. So I make a distinction between those people and the people on the left who are not only practicing this stuff, but absolutely demanding that you and I do it. Absolutely demanding that we approve of it. Absolutely demanding that we like it, that we say amen to it. And that the whole culture bends to it. The government bends to it. The corporate world bends to it. The sports world bends to it. The entertainment world bends to it. Everybody bends to it. That's what they want. In other words, they're really trying to hijack the country. And they're trying to hijack the culture. I mean, and the reason why I know that stuff is happening behind the scenes is I have been victimized by it. I mean, I've had people tell me, I think I may have shared this with you all, but we were dealing with all the violence in Boston when I was ministering in Boston, trying to bring an end to all the bloodshed on the streets of the city. Again, mainly black kids killing other black kids. That was mainly what was going on. And we were trying to deal with that. We had a prayer program, praying in these real hot spots. We had a program called Project Values, ministering to young people in middle school. And we were doing a number of things, and we applied for a grant to give us some financing to help us expand this effort. And I was denied the grant, and a friend of mine who was on the board of this particular company came back later and told me, well, they'll never tell you this, but I was at the board meeting where your proposal was considered, and somebody spoke up and said, well, we can't give him money for that because he's anti-gay. And of course, I and others raised the issue, well, what does that have to do with it? It's a youth program that he's doing. Yeah, but you know, we shouldn't be supporting people like that. And raised enough of a ruckus that intimidated everybody else into saying, oh, well, you know, yeah, we don't want to support somebody who's that controversial. Well, I wasn't controversial at all. Probably 90% of the people agree with me. But when you've got the whole culture dancing to the tune of a bunch of loudmouth deviants who think everybody ought to bow when they play their music, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were expected to do, then you get situations like that where people say, well, you know, yes, you feel that strongly about it, we'll let it go. But you know what it's time for us to say to these folks who think that way? We don't care what you think. You are not going to stop us from doing things for people. See, because I've told you all before, I mean, I've said this publicly, I really believe that's why Fox ended up blacklisting me. Because I'm outspoken about this. And the thing is, I've always been right to be, folks. Forgive me. I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. But I've always been right to be, because I've always warned this stuff has no end to it. When I first started fighting this whole so-called gay rights bill up in Massachusetts, we were assured, oh, this is not about same-sex marriage. This is not about pedophilia. This is not about anything else. This is only about equality. This is only about people who need to work and people who need housing and all that. And I said, no, it's not about that. I said, it's not about that. It's about changing the culture. Because the fact of the matter is, nobody knows who's homosexual and who's not unless they do something to announce themselves. So how can you discriminate against a person unless they are wildly effeminate? How can you discriminate against a person because they want to apply for a job or they want to? The question I would ask in that situation, unless the person, again, gave me pause. Now, that's a different matter, because now we're dealing with what kind of moral framework you're bringing to the job. See, because that's not just a matter of your private behavior. If you think this is something that you ought to be able to publicly display and publicly celebrate and that everybody ought to well, that affects the culture of my business if you want to do that. But for the person who just says, hey, this is who I am, here's what I can do for your business, here are my skills, here's my education, here's my background, that's the only thing I care about. But that's not what they want. No, they want you to hire them because they have a different sexual orientation. They want that to be treated like it's a racial classification. And I would warn people, they say, oh, well, no, that's not what this is about now. Here we are, folks, 40 years later, because that was in the mid-80s. 40 years later, plus, and where are we? Now we forget about so-called equal rights. We got same-sex marriage. We got all kinds of gender-bending insanity going on in our schools where children are being taught this sick ideology about gender. We've got group conversions of numbers of girls who get caught up in this stuff, and all of a sudden, oh, I just figured out I'm a boy in a girl's body. I mean, this stuff never ends. And we've got, I shared them with you, we've got an organization that is working behind the scenes, has been doing so for over 20 years to get the psychotherapy community to agree that pedophilia is not to be judged or condemned, that it is simply a sexual orientation like any other sexual orientation. That, in other words, that it's not abnormal. I warned about this stuff. And most of the people I warned about it say, oh, you're going too far. You're too extreme. But here we are now. Look at what we've got. Do you think this is the end? You think we're witnessing all that they intend? Do you think that we're witnessing the conclusion of their quest? No, not at all. It'll never stop. Because they're going to always be looking for something else to demand be normalized so that they can fulfill their degenerate lusts with full societal approval. That's what they want, folks. Now, here again, I'm talking about these activists that are out there demanding that they be able to go in and do drag queen story hours for children. Because what's wrong with that? Everything. Demanding it. And people who are demanding that they be able to talk to your child secretly, apart from you, for those of you with young children, that they be able to talk to your child secretly, apart from you, and basically enter into, this is what pedophiles do, right? Enter into a secret relationship with that child in which they discuss things with that child about sexuality and agree with the child that the parents shouldn't know. Now, this is where we are now. What began with, oh, no, we're not talking about any of that. We're just talking about equality. Yeah, right. I didn't believe it then, and I have been proved absolutely 1,000% right. And you know what the sad thing is? If we don't get this under control, 10, 5, 10, 15 years from now, people are going to be sitting around, How do we get to a point where people are saying pedophilia is okay now? How do we get to this point? And I, you know what I would say if I'm around at that time? I'll say, you got to that point at the starting point. The moment you open the gate, you just let the demons pour in. And they didn't all reveal themselves immediately, but once they got in the door, believe me, there is no end to the depth of depravity to which they will drag our culture. So thank God for President Trump standing up for truth and standing up for Christian values. Again, I hear people give all kinds of opinions about his spirituality. I don't know him personally. I can't attest one way or the other. But this is what I will attest to with my final breath, because I mean this, folks. I believe God is using President Trump tremendously. I really do. And by the way, I believe President Trump understands that, particularly after that assassination attempt in which he got his ear shot and almost got killed. I believe President Trump understands that God is using him. And Proverbs 14:34 says, righteousness exalts a nation, sin is a reproach to any people. And to the extent that President Trump is trying to exalt righteousness in our country, and I think that is the predominant agenda that he is on, trying to exalt righteousness in our country, and also trying to fulfill his stewardship responsibility of making sure that he takes care of the American people first. Folks, that's not racist or sinful or Nazi or any of these other crazy things people say. It's right. So praise God for it. Okay, so let me take a moment to say, this is what we are fighting for at Stan. This is what my organization is fighting for, folks, staying true to America's national destiny. I do not believe it's America's national destiny for America, God's intended destiny for America to become like Sodom and Gomorrah. I do not believe that. I believe that God's destiny is not for us to be Sodom and Gomorrah, but for us to be the shining city on a hill that cannot be hidden. And if we're going to be that, the key is we have got to first and foremost acknowledge Almighty God. There are a number of things we got to do, but we got to first and foremost acknowledge Almighty God. Psalm 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And you all have heard me say this, but if that's true, then the antithesis has got to be true. Cursed is the nation whose God is not, because if the antithesis is not true, then the first statement is meaningless. If you want to be blessed, your God is the Lord. If you want to be cursed, your God is something else. So in this period from July 4th to September 17th, which turns out to be 76 days by divine providence, 76 days, we're doing something we call the Project 76 Standathon. And we're asking all of you to help us to fulfill the mission God has given us. God has given us a mission to bring Americans together across racial and cultural lines, to unify around our Judeo-Christian values and heritage and principles, our constitutional republic of limited government, our free market economy, our commitment to a culture of life, all those things that I think really go to the heart of what America is and to the foundation of who we are, is what Stand is, it was created to preserve, to defend and to preserve. And folks, we're not playing around. Part of the reason why I speak boldly, well, part of it is that's just the way God has wired me. I don't have a shrinking violet mindset about these things. But look, but as a rational matter, the left is as bold as they can be. You know, I had a woman, I spoke at Andrew Womack Ministries a few weeks ago, and had a woman come up to me, and she said to me, I want to have that boldness that you have. I want you to pray for me that God would give me boldness, that I don't I don't shrink back. And I quoted her the proverb that says, the righteous flee when no one, the wicked flee, I should say, the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous haven't. The righteous are bold as a lion. I'm mixing and matching here, but you get my point. The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. That's the way we've got to be. Because I tell you what, the wicked, when it comes to pursuit of their wickedness, they're bold. Hey, imagine, folks, calling our ICE agents Nazis and the Gestapo and encouraging people to throw rocks at them and try to hit them with cars and shooting at them. And that really takes some chutzpah, because they're just as wrong as they can be. Those ICE agents are carrying out the righteous responsibility they have under the oath that they took to the Constitution of the United States, to the service of the American people in those offices. They are doing their duty, and they're doing it honorably. They haven't killed anybody. They haven't harmed anybody. But what they've been doing is rounding up people who have committed crimes, have a deportation order, or are people who are known bad actors. Now, some people are getting swept up in that, I know, but if you're here illegally and you get swept up in that, too bad. Take advantage of the offer. Go back, voluntarily depart, and then come the right way, and we will welcome you. But the people who are carrying out the will of the American people and the directions of the President of the United States, who was elected to do this job, are not Nazis, and they're not the Gestapo. They are patriotic Americans who are putting their lives on the line with cartels and human traffickers and drug dealers and MS-13 members and Tren de Aragua members, putting their lives on the line to defend us as Americans against them. And you got people who want to kill them, want to hurt them, want to slander them, want to vilify them. Well, STAND was created to defend America, who we are, and why God gave us this wonderful country. STAND was developed for that purpose. And folks, we are 16 years old. We were formed on July 4th, 2009. And this STANDathon period from July 4th to September 17th is going to become an annual thing. And we're asking you to jump in. You can give $1 a day, 76 days. It'll be only $76 over, 76 days is like 2.5 months. $76 over 2.5 months. What's that come to? $20, well, 2.5 months, okay, maybe $30 a month. You can sign up as a Patriot partner to give as little as $5 a month. And for those of you who, by the grace of God, may have the resources to do far more, we are believing God for some angel investors. We're believing God for some people who can write checks for $1 million, $5 million, $10 million, $20 million, $50 million, $100 million. I'm serious, folks, because we've got some, look, I really believe that we need to create some boarding schools for some of these kids, both inner city and rural, who are living in horrendous circumstances and really need to be put into a clean, safe, wholesome Christian environment where they can get the academic training they need and the character building they need, the discipleship that they need. But all of that stuff takes resources. So I'm asking for your prayers. Our theme, prayer for purpose and prosperity. I'm asking for your prayers first and foremost. Remember, I always say, prayer will produce resources. Resources will never substitute for prayer. But prayer for purpose, I'm helping you now to understand what we stand for, what we are doing, and for prosperity, that the Lord would prosper us in trying to do it and prosper our country in the process. And folks, I am glad to report America's prospering right now. I think we've only got one little piece of this now that needs to be put in place, and that is that the Fed needs to drop the interest rates. The Fed drops the interest rates, Katie bar the door. I think we're going to see an economy war like we've never seen before. I really do. Because, it's a, look, inflation's down. All that food cost and that high energy cost, all of that is over. You got Americans being employed again because we're sending home these people who have been undercutting American wages because they're here illegally and they'll take pretty much anything to get a few bucks to send back. All of that is changing. The state of the American economy, I'm here to tell you, is good in spite of the fact that the left predicted and all these Democrats predicted, oh, it's going to be the end of the world. Trump is going to ruin America. He's going to ruin the economy. Oh, we're going to have inflation. The cost of everything is going up. The cost of imported goods has gone down. Inflation's at 1.4%. Lowest it's been in a number of years. Lowest it's been, I think, since Donald Trump was in office before. Folks, it's not luck. It's not coincidence. The man knows what he's doing, and the hand of God is upon him, giving him wisdom to help him do it, not so that Trump can become the be-all and end-all, but in service to the American people. You know, God doesn't call leaders to glorify the leader. He didn't even call Jesus, our Savior, to glorify him. He called Jesus to save us. The Bible says, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, shall he not also with him freely give us all things? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It's about the people God once served, not the leader who happens to be serving them. And praise God, we're supposed to give honor where honor is due. And I'll tell you, I honor President Trump. But God's agenda is about us, about the people, and serving us. And praise God, we're being served at last. So help us. Help Stand to do what God has called us to do. Go to standamerica.us. That's standamerica.us. If you're one of those people who doesn't do the internet very well, or maybe you're not comfortable giving online, you can call us at 757-375-6444. 757-375-6444. And participate in Project 76 Standathon. Okay, so praise God that we've got some good things happening. President Trump is accomplishing some good things. A couple of other things I wanted to get to. It really is a blessing. Even though some people are up in arms about it, it really is a blessing to see the call for prayer. You know, we just went through Second Chronicles, but for me, July, which is the seventh month, the 14th day, always reminds me of Second Chronicles 7:14. When I ran for president, that was the day I kicked my candidacy off for symbolic reasons. Of course, the press didn't pay any attention to that, but thank God AFR did, but the rest of the press didn't. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. I just preached a sermon last week called A Praying Nation, because I said America's in the same position. We have accomplished something unprecedented in this country. The most powerful, the most wealthy, the highest standard of living, more freedom, more opportunity, more hope, more productivity, more inventions, more creation than any other nation that's existed. Now again, Israel is the exception, but remember, for 2,500 years, Israel didn't exist as a nation. Israel just resumed in 1948, May 14th, 1948. Well, by May 14th, 1948, we were already, close to 200 years old. So, in this brief time that we have existed, we have seen the miraculous. And it is really encouraging to know that God is doing something in America right now. God is doing something in our country. Folks, I'm convinced that we are in, I'm not sure what the stage is, it may be the beginning stages, but I really believe that we are in some ways in an awakening right now. Because we are seeing things unlike anything we've ever seen before. For example, oh my goodness, let me not forget to mention this. President Trump has now gutted the Johnson Amendment, which prevented pastors from standing up in the pulpit and telling their people who they are voting for, or even endorsing a candidate. And you know, the sad thing is the Johnson Amendment has always been discriminatorily implemented anyway, because the fact of the matter is when Jesse Jackson ran for president, he campaigned in churches all over America, predominantly black churches, and nobody ever raised a ruckus. My friend Gary Hamrick of Cornerstone Chapel up in Northern Virginia, Loudoun County, preached one sermon in which he basically told the congregation we're supposed to be voting our biblical values, and the IRS investigated him for a year. Well, praise God, all that's over. All that is over. And we've been talking about this thing for decades, and now it's been dealt with. I trust permanently, but it's been dealt with. The IRS, and look, it was never lawful for the IRS to say anything about what a pastor says in the pulpit. That's between that pastor and his congregation. If the congregation doesn't like what he has to say, well, then he's got to deal with that. Either he's got to go or they're going to leave, but that's between them. Government doesn't have anything to say about it. And praise God, one of the excuses that many pastors have given for not speaking out on the issues of the day. Now, let me just tell you, from my personal perspective, I don't believe it's my job to tell you who to vote for. I think it is my job to tell you, to the extent that I have knowledge of it, where candidates stand on the issues and what the biblical principles are that are at stake, and to tell you and to go so far as to say, this is who I'm going to vote for. That doesn't mean my church is officially endorsing that person or that we're spending resources, because we don't do that. We don't spend resources on political campaigns. We don't donate to political candidates. We don't even hold events for political candidates, although political candidates are certainly welcome to come to our church and to speak to our congregation. And by the way, that's from various backgrounds, as long as they don't mind me telling the truth about where they stand. Needless to say, some aren't coming because they don't want the truth to be told about where they stand. They don't want people to know that. They just want to be able to sort of duck that, just like Andrew Gillum. Remember Andrew Gillum down in Florida? He didn't want people to know that he was a meth head and a homosexual and bisexual, or whatever he ultimately called himself. No, he wanted to go to church and wave his hands and praise the Lord and, oh yeah, I'm one of you. And he was lying through his teeth. A candidate like that comes to my church, if I know the truth about him, just get ready, because I'm going to put it out there, which means they're not going to show up. But then it's up to the people to decide, am I a follower of Jesus Christ? Is my first loyalty to him? And if it is, what are the implications of that in the political stands I take, in terms of how I vote and who I support? I'll end with this. In that the message I preached about a praying nation, I talked about this issue. And this is one of the things Stand is addressing, what I call the deracialization of America. You all have heard me talk about ROS, racial obsession syndrome. Well, now I've come up with a program called the deracialization of America. It means getting race out of everything, getting it out of our thinking, So we see each other as individuals, according to 2 Corinthians 5:16. We know no one according to the flesh. America needs to be deracialized, because if we're not, then Jesus warned in Matthew 12:25, a kingdom divided against itself will come to desolation. We don't need that. One of the things I pointed out, and like I said, I'll end with this. I said, Elon Musk can create whatever kind of party he wants. I'm not following him. I'm not following an atheist anywhere. I'm not following an idolater and a person who denies God and his power. I'm not following them. I'm not supporting that, because to me, that would be disloyal to the one to whom I owe my first loyalty, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I am many things, and people could identify me in many ways. They could say, well, he's a husband, he's a father, he's a grandfather, he's a radio talk show host or podcast host, he's an author, he's a pastor, he's CEO of a nonprofit organization, and you could go on. But folks, let's not forget this, he's black. But if any of those things take first place in my life, then that becomes my master. That is my Lord. That is what I give my first loyalty to. My identity, our identity as Christians has got to be first and foremost that we are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are disciples of Jesus Christ. We owe our first loyalty to him. That is how we identify ourselves. That is what gets us into heaven. That is what puts us in the will and the grace of Almighty God. Not our skin color. Not our education. I mean, you got people, they identify with money. People identify with their education. I always say, people say, yeah, he graduated from Harvard Law School. You know, I graduated in 1978 when it probably meant a lot more than it does now. But I say, yeah, I did, but I didn't drink the Kool-Aid, because there was plenty of it to drink there then. But that's not my chief identity. In the cross of Christ, I glory. That's my chief identity. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's who I am. And we as Christians have got to come together around that. We may have denominational differences and doctrinal differences, but the question is, do we believe that Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh, born of a virgin, walked this sinful, dusty earth for 33 years, lived a perfect, sinless life, died on the cross for our sins, rose the third day to be our Savior, our Lord, our King? If we believe that, we're one people. If you believe that, we're brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. I told you I had a guy say to me one time when I asked him, I said, folks, I thought I had this thing all set up so that it wouldn't forgive me. I asked him, he was bringing Louis Farrakhan into his pulpit. And I said to him, why would you bring Louis Farrakhan into a Christian pulpit? Louis Farrakhan is a false prophet. Why would you do that? Why would you let him be behind the holy desk? And the guy said this to me. I will never forget it. He said, well, he may not be a Christian, but he is my brother. And I, you know what I told him? I said, well, not to me. I said, not to me. I don't know what basis you're saying that, but I know what I was saying that rhetorically. I knew what basis he was saying it, because Louis Farrakhan is black or person of African ancestry or whatever. I think he comes from the Caribbean, but whatever. But he was saying that on the basis of skin color. But what did Jesus say when his own family came to talk to him and he would not leave his pulpit, if you will? He would not leave his platform teaching the word of God to go see them and said, who are my mother and my brothers but those who do the will of my Father in heaven? See, that's where I am. You're not my brother because you happen to have darker skin. No, I'm not having that, folks. Forgive me, that ain't working for me. Because as far as I'm concerned, you could be an abject sinner. Either way, I'm not trusting that for a bit. You could want to cut my throat. No, I want to know, have you been washed in the blood? Are you a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? That's what I want to know. Now, if you are, okay, we're brothers and sisters. Let's put our shoulders together and get at it. I'm ready to go. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God who is in all, over all, and through all. I'm ready. But all that superficial nonsense, which doesn't mean a thing, please. Hey, brother, and knock you upside the head just as soon as look at you. No, thank you. Going to take more than that. And I realize people use that term loosely sometimes, just to one man referring to another, hey, brother, something like that. But I'm talking about when it's used to say, well, he's a brother. Meaning what? Well, meaning he's black. Not to me. You better tell me something more than that. You better tell me that he knows and loves the Lord. Now, he's my brother. I don't care, as Dr. King said, whether he's a base black or a treble white. You know, he was using the keys of a keyboard to refer to those racial distinctions that people made. That doesn't matter. That anywhere along the spectrum, from beige to dark brown, the question is, have you been born again? That's what matters to me. And if you have, all right, let's talk. Because you're my brother. You're my sister in Christ. And if you're not, don't come mute all that brother and sister stuff. Get right with God. Then we can talk. Now you're really part of my eternal family. We're going to be together for all of eternity. We can chat now. Forget chat. We can fellowship in the Lord. We can praise and worship God together. You know, have you had this experience, folks, where you meet somebody and you find out they're Christian and you start talking about the Lord, and after a while you just start having church and everybody just gets happy? A great big old smile on everybody's face. And everybody, you know, it's like that old song says, when I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the uttermost. When I think about the Lord, how he picked me up, turned me around, and placed my feet on solid ground, it makes me want to shout. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're worthy of all the honor and all the glory and all the praise. Man, I am so glad to be in the family of God, aren't you? Because that's ultimately all that matters. In the eternal perspective, that is all that ultimately matters. Listen, God bless you. I've probably gone over my time. I don't know, somehow I had some of my stuff here that I thought I had silenced was on, but so I've kind of lost my timing. But I know it's time for me to go. But I tell you what, I'm happy in Jesus alone. So look, folks, this is our Project 76 Standathon period. I hope that you will support us. Go to our website, standamerica.us, standamerica.us. You can give there. If you'd like to send a check or you'd like to give online, but you don't have the ability to do that, you can call us at our office, 757-375-6444. It's always a pleasure and an honor to be on and to have an opportunity to interact with you all. And I will say this, folks, you know what to do. Look, you and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, do not lose. We are victors, not victims. We are more than conquerors, not the conquered. We are triumphant, not tragic. So stand up, step up, speak up, and refuse to back up, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side. God bless everybody.